every Sunday have more buttons I have to push to get this working. But anyway, it's glad to see everybody here. Yeah, our number is down. We do have several not feeling well, and so we're mindful of them. And we are going to have a lesson here called The Abundant Life. And we've probably heard this before, and as you know, I rarely repeat a sermon. Well, this is no exception here. I have had a lesson before on the abundant life, but this lesson is going to be a little bit different than the last one I did, which is about 4 years ago. But anyway, we're going to talk about this, and this basically comes from the passage that reads in part, "I came that you may have life and that you may have it more abundantly." And so the idea of abundance means a wealth. I mean, just a great measure, more than what you really need. And that's what Jesus said. He came to give us this kind of life that is more fulfilling than what we experience in the world today. So life is certainly hard enough with all the stress and problems that we encounter daily. And who of us does not have to deal with stress and problems? I mean, it just seems like that's a natural thing to do. And it's no different than anybody else. We all go through the same thing like everybody else. The difference is when we're a Christian, we learn how to handle it differently than the people of this world. And that becomes quite evident. And Jesus tells us that our lives can be much better. And this is what we offer to people is, yeah, you become a Christian, not only do you have the hope of salvation, you can have a much better life than your old life. And so we go through the Bible, we find that when we focus our attention on Jesus and try to please God in everything we do, we become more satisfied with our life than we do by trying to get along without God. You know, the writer in Ecclesiastes, basically the whole purpose of Ecclesiastes was saying, life without God is vanity. It's a waste, and it doesn't do any good. It's like striving after the wind. But when you remember to put God in your life and focus on pleasing Him, then it's not a wasted effort. And so that's what he tells us. All right, so many people attempt to go through life without God directing their steps. I mean, the scriptures tell us we should let God direct our steps. I mean, put our trust in Him, acknowledge Him, and He will direct your path. And it's not a man who walks to direct his own steps. God orders our steps. God tells us how we should be living. God tells us the way in which we should walk. And so many people, I mean, that they're trying to get by without God. And so, it's on, right?
Do that one again.
Yeah. Your battery's dead. Get you another one. All right, we're going to try and switch out microphones here. But like I said, so many people try and go through life without God, and it's obvious in their life that they're trying to do it without God, and they're failing. Well, we know they're failing, but they don't know they're failing. That's the problem. Okay, it's on. All right, so anyway, they go through life that way. Now, all right, most people in the world probably feel that since they can take care of themselves, that they really do not need God taking care of them. And that's true. I mean, they feel that way. Well, they get by. I mean, they might be drug dealers, they might be thieves, they might be horrible people, but they're making it. So, oh well, I'm not going to worry about it. I don't need God to get me through this life. And they're doing this by ignorance because they're not aware of what's awaiting them. They're not aware that there is a judgment that they are going to face. And so they don't feel any dependence upon God whatsoever. And that is the majority of people in this world. And the Bible tells us that God cares for us and wants us to be happy. I mean, we know that. I mean, we're supposed to cast our cares on Him because He does care for us. And He wants us to be happy. And, of course, our happiness is not derived from indulging in all sorts of sins, but our happiness is derived in pleasing God. I mean, that's where our great happiness should lie. And so most people try and find their happiness in things which God declares were sinful, and sinful in nature and sinful in action. And that's what they try and do. And so true happiness comes by having your life make a difference in this world among others and helping others out. I mean, being a good influence for others. I mean, that's where true happiness is going to come. And when we go through life and we consider our legacy, did I make this world a better place by my presence, or was it made worse? And some people, that they want to, a lot of people seem to want to stay in that neutral territory. Well, I don't really want to make a difference. I don't want to influence people to do one thing or another. I'm just going to leave them alone, let them make their own decisions. Well, making decisions like that is the wrong decision to make. I mean, it's wrong, because we should be doing things God's way. All right, when a person becomes a Christian, they enter a new life. And we know that's the case. And Romans 6:4 tells us that we are raised to walk in newness of life. And we are different. And Ephesians 2:1-10 explains that before we became a Christian, we are dead to God and only live for ourselves through what the world offers us. But beginning in verse 4, he says, but now you've been made alive together with God in Christ. And so when we put Christ on, when we obey Christ, and he did this, because this is what God did for us. God was merciful and presented to the world his Son to die on our behalf. And so that's why Christ is so very important. And we recognize that. See, by accepting the Son as our Lord and Savior, we become a new creature. A lot of people in this world, they just want to accept Him as Savior, but they're not interested in seeking Him as Lord. Or we could also put the word Master and the Captain, our Captain. I mean, so many different adjectives we could put here, so many descriptions of the Christ we could put in here. A lot of people want to consider Jesus as nothing more than a Savior, and they're not interested in serving Him as Lord and Master. And that is their problem. And of course, they're not going to be saved by doing that. You know, in Luke 6:46, Jesus asked, why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do the things I say? And then, of course, Matthew 7:21, which we should all know, not everyone who says, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he that does the will of my Father, who is in heaven. And so, that's the problem that we're faced with a lot of people. They don't want a Lord, a Master, directing their steps. They don't want someone telling them what to do. And that's pretty much the case. But in the world, they're willing to allow that, aren't they? I mean, in the workplace, you're willing to let your boss you around and tell you what to do and when to do it. And if you want to keep your job, if you want to keep bringing that income in, you're going to do exactly what they tell you to do. Mm-hmm. If you're out there and the policeman directs you, says, go through this light, you're going to do it because he's telling you to do that. He is the proper authority for such. And in the military, I mean, if your ranking officer comes to you and says, do this, well, guess what? You better be doing it. Otherwise, you'll be put on report. You might even be put in prison if you don't do what they tell you to do. All right. So something else going on. Technology is amazing. And we're able to get this stuff on Facebook and some other places. But yeah, like anything electronic, could present problems. Mm-hmm. And 2 Corinthians 5:17 tells us that anyone who is in Christ is a new creature. And that's true. The problem is, how do you get in Christ? Well, the Bible teaches us how to do that. We are baptized into Christ. I mean, Galatians 3:27 tells us that. We are baptized into Christ. We're also baptized into his body. We read in 1 Corinthians 12 and verse 13. And so we come into Christ by obedience to the gospel. There's no other way to get into Christ. I mean, some people want to pray into Christ, but that's a false doctrine. There is no such thing as praying yourself into Christ. The prayer is tells us that in Christ is through baptism. That's the only access to be in Christ. All right, Colossians 3, 1 through 11 tells us to put on the new self and let the old self be regarded as dead. It's almost like saying, put to death the old person. Now, what was the old person? Well, Colossians explains. It's all sorts of sin, all sorts of deceitfulness, all sorts of wrath, all sorts of lying, all sorts of things like that. And put it away. Don't do those things anymore. But when you empty yourself of all that bad stuff, there's a vacuum. And so what do? Well, now you've got to put some things in there, which God wants you to put in there. I mean, the love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, brotherly kindness, all these sort of things we need to be adding to ourselves. That's the new self that we should be. When we accept Christ, we should have a change in our life. You know, some people, they're baptized, but they don't demonstrate any changes in their life. And the people around them, their friends, their family, their neighbors, they have no idea that they've made any change. They don't see a change. Folks, when we become a Christian, people got to see a dramatic change in our life if we're going to be effective. And yes, what's going to happen? Well, your old buddies, they're not going to want to be around you anymore. And so we just have to realize that's going to take place. All right, this new life needs to be demonstrated in our lives and by our behavior. And a lot of people choose not to do that. But folks, it needs to be that way. And if we're a member of God's church, a member of the Church of Christ, we need to be letting people know that. Not only by our actions, we've got to tell them. You know, in my past experience working with people, I found quite a few that said, oh, I'm a member of the Church of Christ, and my jaw just dropped. What? I mean, they were just like everybody else in the world. They talked the garbage, they talked the smack, they cursed people out. Mm-hmm. They did all sorts of things like that. And you go to church? I can't believe you go to church. And, I mean, does your church tolerate that? That's what I was thinking. Does your congregation tolerate that type of behavior? And you just kind of wonder. And so, I mean, all sorts of people. But it needs to be demonstrated to others. You know, for many generations, our nation and most of the world live by Bible-centered living. In other words, establish what God said. I mean, this country was founded upon that principle to worship God as we chose. Now, they were under a system over there in England. The Anglican Church was telling people how to live, and people were reading the Bible saying, that's not what the Bible says. So they wanted to be free of that type of system. It's like some people in the Middle East nowadays. They're not thrilled with the Muslim religion, and so they're seeking something different. And yes, they're putting themselves in harm's way, because by declaring an allegiance to Christ or something other than the Muslim faith, they could be put to death. They could be imprisoned and things like that. But for many years, we lived by Bible-centered living. And up until just the last few presidencies, most presidents acknowledged the greatness of God and how we should be thankful to God for providing us a land of the free. And they talked like that. And so even our money declares that in God we trust. Now we have to know that in order to have those four words put on our currency, there was a lot of debate. There was a lot of complaining about it. And now we have debates in Congress. Let's get it off of there. We don't want that. And we got to take this "in God we trust" off. And so they're trying to find subtle ways to take it off the face of the coin. They put it on the backside, or they put it on the rim. They something like that. And there's so many trying to get rid of God in our society. In fact, some of them actually despise the word God being on our currency at all. And that's the way it is, but it's not like that anymore. We have those changes taking place. And the world has been working very hard to remove God from every aspect of society, and they are accomplishing that feat very well. I mean, they're working through government to get rid of God out of government. They're going through the judicial system to say you can't force God upon anybody. And even in our entertainment media, I mean, we watch shows, but they guarantee you there's not a show nowadays in which one of the characters isn't gay. And they start showing this on the screen. I mean, it's what God calls sin. And of course, anything that God calls sin, this world is trying to glorify. You know, that takes us back to Isaiah 5 and verse 20. Woe to him, woe to those who call evil good and good evil. I mean, that's the world we live in. And that's what we have to deal with. And these people are out there, they're trying to get rid of God. And yet, for some reason, they still want the qualities that God wants us to do. They want us to be kind to one another. They want us to be nice to one another. They want us to be charitable and things like that. Things which God tells us to do in His work, in His Word, they want us to do that. But don't do it with God. I mean, keep God out of the picture. And that's how most of the world is these days. So when we stand up and declare God and the greatness of God, yeah, they're going to pick on us. They're going to persecute us, make fun of us. But you know what? God will be happy with you. God will be proud of you for standing up for Him. And I mean, that goes a long way. So that's what we need to work on. We need to work on pleasing God and not ourselves or men. See, the majority of Christians just sit back and let Satan become the ruler of this world. And one of these days, there will be a price to be paid. Mm. Well, we could have said this 50 years ago and saying one of these days, there's going to be a price to be paid. Well, folks, we're in that time. We're in this time of evil. And it is just doing nothing but getting worse. And it's going to get worse. We have to recognize that. And we just know that the ruler of this world has a strong foothold. And they've been doing a very effective job. We could say, okay, blame it all on Satan. But those people who don't want God, I mean, they're working for Satan. They don't know it, but they are. And there's going to be a price to be paid. We already see it now in our streets. I mean, kids killing kids. I mean, drugs, alcohol, people dying from all sorts of things. Yeah, there's a price to be paid, and it's going to be a horrible price. And most people are not really concerned about the price that's going to be paid because they're getting to do what they want to do. And as long as they get to do what they want to do, I mean, their own selfishness becomes their own God. Amen. So that's what it is. See, the Constitution of our nation was drafted by people who believed in God and understood that God's ways were much better than man's ways. I mean, that's the same thought we're told in Isaiah 55:8. God says, my ways are higher than your ways and my thoughts higher than your thoughts. And that's very true. And when George Washington is quoted as saying that it is impossible to run a nation without God and the Bible. Well, for 200 years, this nation was operated by people who believed in God and tried to follow the precepts of the Bible. Then about 50 years ago, oh, the Bible, I mean, that's unconstitutional. We can't have the Bible here. That's offensive to so many people. And that concept has gone on and on to now, in a lot of states, the Bible, quoting the Bible, is called hate speech. Amen. And you can be arrested for quoting the Bible. And in some countries of this world, that's definitely what it is. You know, some country of this world, owning a Bible, having a Bible in your possession is enough to imprison you. And so, yeah, I mean, that's it. But if you want to run a nation properly, you need to follow the principles that God gave us. And His principles always work. There's no question about it. Anyone who has looked at God's formula for living realizes that God's ways are far superior to man's ways. I mean, this works not only in business, it works in the retail sector. I mean, honest people will usually get repeat customers, right? Dishonest people are not. So if you follow God's formula, you be honest with everybody, and guess what? They'll appreciate it, and they'll come back and give you more business. And some people looking for that quick buck, and they cheat people out of goods or currency or something like that, having short measures or wrong measures, and think, well, I'll get a few pennies off of this. I mean, it's going to cost them in the end, because people learn honesty is more better. And so, I mean, look at God's formula for the home. I mean, look what our world has done to the family. I mean, basically, well, you don't like this wife, put her away, marry another, and just basically have your sex. That's what it comes down to. Getting your sexual fulfillment any way you can. If your wife's not giving it to you, go find someone else and use them for your sexual fantasies or whatever. I mean, that's honestly speaking. And that's the way this world operates. But the home, I mean, we should have a father and mother in the home directing the children. That's God's formula. But now, how many homes do we have now in our country where there's only a single parent? I mean, so many more than there used to be. And that's a real tragedy. See, every guideline God has given to man turns into success when implemented. We follow His ways. We do and follow His formula in the business world. How am I going to serve my employer? Well, follow God's example. Do your work heartily as unto the Lord. And then that's what we're supposed to be doing. We're supposed to be doing our very best effort to be serving others as we should. And so when we follow God's guidelines on how to treat others, and He gives us a lot of instructions on how to treat others, I mean, things are going to work out. I mean, we may not be the top dog because we didn't cheat our way to the top. But guess what? If we're doing what God wants us to do, God's going to be pleased with us. And when it comes judgment day, we're going to be over there on the right instead of on the left. So we need to look at it that way. See, it's only when people turn from God that chaos comes into being. And this world is full of chaos. We know that. I mean, it's just not pleasing. It's not pleasant at all to see. And we see this. We see the rioting in the streets. We see the hatred on the streets. We see the hatred on the television set when we turn on the news. We see hatred. You got to hate these people. They all just need to die. I mean, things like that. I mean, it's chaos going on. And guess what? They're okay with that. They're okay with that. Sadly, I think the people enjoy chaos. Mm-hmm. Oh, they complain about it, but they're not going to do anything to change it. Why? Because they don't want to have to do things the way God wants them to do it. So that's their problem. And this must be true because they keep it instead of returning to serve God and live by the Bible standards. And so, I mean, it's just the way things are out there. Now, because people are that way, do we give up on them? No. We cannot give up on them. We still have a responsibility to set an example. We have the example and the command from Jesus to let your light shine so that others see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven, Matthew 5:16. We still have that responsibility to share the gospel message, to teach others. We have the responsibility to speak truth one with another and speak the truth in love. Because, why? Because we care for souls. Everyone has a soul, whether they realize it or not. Everyone has a soul, and that soul will stand before God in judgment. Now, what's going to be the outcome of their judgment will either be if they have been faithful, they will have the eternal life with God in heaven, or if they've been unfaithful, they will have eternal torment in hell. So that's what we need to encourage people to turn and serve God and live by the Bible. See, a Bible-centered life requires us to submit to God and do what He commands. And that's very true. A lot of people are trying to say, well, I believe in God, but I'm not going to do what He commands. And they still think, well, as long as I believe in God, that's good enough. I get to go to heaven. There's so many in the denominations have been taught this, and they haven't really investigated for themselves. And they think about this, well, you don't have to do what He tells you to do. Just believe in God. That's all you need to do. And that is falsehood. That's error. That doesn't fall in line with what the Scripture says. I mean, so this requires change. Thus the phrase, the newness of life, that we read in Romans 6 and verse 4. So it requires change on our part. We must change. If we're going to become a child of God, we must change. Not only by believing in Jesus the Christ as the Son of God, and repenting. I mean, we've done things against God God doesn't like, and so we need to change our ways there. We need to confess the Christ. He's going to be my Lord and Master from now on. And we need to have that change. We need to be baptized so that our sins can be washed away. As long as we have sins in our life, I mean, just because we change, we still need to have the sins removed. And that only happens in baptism. Acts 22 and verse 16. Wash away your sins. And then, of course, continuing these things. See, our way of doing things, our thoughts and our actions need to conform to God's word to enjoy this new life. And that's the only way it's going to happen. And so we should view the situations in life through the lens of the Bible and not rely upon our own understanding. You know, Proverbs 3:5, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. And so that's right. I mean, we're human. We're flawed. We know that. But God is not. God is perfect. And so when we follow God's instructions and we do it to the best of our ability, God is going to be pleased with us. But when we try and do our own thing, God's not going to be pleased with us. And we need to warn people about that. Saying, you need to do things God's way. That's the only way that's going to get you to heaven. So whatever we do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord. Colossians 3:17. All right. When faced with decisions, we should include prayer and searching Bible principles to guide us. I mean, we're told to study to show ourselves approved. That means open up our Bible. Start off by reading it, and then you start breaking it down and looking at each phrase. See how it's used and see what the impact is upon me. What can I learn from this? Because this is God's message to mankind today. God's not going to all of a sudden speak out of the cloud and say, you need to go do this. You know, some people claim that, but God's not going to do that. See, God has spoken and told us everything we need to know. You know, 2 Peter 1 and verse 3, by His divine mercy He granted us everything pertaining life and eternal life and godliness. And so, everything we need concerning our salvation, God has given to us. And how has He given it to us? Through the Bible. Through the words of the Bible. I mean, the Bible carries the authority of God with it. And so, we need to conduct ourselves according to what the Bible teaches us to conduct ourselves by. And so we let the Bible guide us. We learn from it. And then this is what God wants me to do. The Bible is God speaking to me. It's God speaking to you. And therefore, that's very important. Why? Because God, who created this earth and has power over everything, it's a good idea to learn what God wants. I mean, it should make common sense and should make sense to people. But sadly, they're so wrapped up in their selfishness, they don't even give God any consideration. So yes, we need to do this with prayer. So it could be our habits need to change to reflect the words of Christ in our hearts. Yeah, sometimes, even if we've been a Christian for many years, sometimes over time we have developed different habits that we need to examine ourselves carefully. And that's what it says in 2 Corinthians 13:5, examine yourselves to see if you're in the faith. Or don't you realize this about you, that Jesus Christ is in you? And so, I mean, we get busy, we do things, I mean, we see other people do it, and we think, well, that must be okay. And a lot of people in churches, they look at their leadership and what their leadership tells them. Well, that's the way it is, without investigating for themselves. I mean, they're so far removed from the Bible in most of these denominations, they don't even carry copies of the Bible with them wherever they go. I mean, it's just that way. But we need to reflect the words of Christ in our hearts. And that's going to translate into our actions. So as we continue to learn from the Bible, we need to keep making changes so that we will conform to His will. See, we're supposed to be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of our minds. Romans 12 and verse 2 tells us that. So yes, we need to keep making changes. No matter how long we've been in the church, no matter how much knowledge we think we have, we've always got to be examining ourselves to make sure, is this acceptable to God? And whatever the action might be, and it might be we don't want to try and balance it out. Well, I do a lot of great things for God, so I can get away with a few bad things every now and then. It doesn't work that way, folks. If we continue to sin, there no longer remains a sacrifice. Hebrews 10:26 tells us that. So it's something we need to do. But it's the type of life that Jesus came to give us, and it is a fulfilling life. It is a life, as He described, abundance. Abundance of happiness, abundance of joy. Doesn't guarantee that we'll always be happy. Yes, there's sadness, because what are we dealing with? We're dealing with people of this world. And they disappoint. They reject us. They mistreat us. And yeah, we think everybody's picking on me and making fun of me. And we sometimes fall into self-pity because of that. But it shouldn't be that way. If God is pleased with your actions, you should praise Him and give Him the glory and say, what more can I do for you, Lord? What more can I do to extol your name among others? How can I tell people about you? Well, folks, we have many opportunities now. Yes, we meet people from time to time. We might throw in a word or two, might get them to thinking. I mean, sometimes our exposure to others is kind of limited. Sometimes we have the opportunity to sit them down and say, here's what the Bible says. We might have that opportunity. We have the opportunity through technology. I mean, every one of you has an email address. Every one of you has the possibility to take the words of God and write them down and send them to people who need it. And who needs the word of God? Everybody. I mean, we're trying to stream live and share this message with others. I mean, we get several views. I mean, last week's sermon got a lot of views. And so we can share the message. And honestly, we can say about basically the only people who are going to spend any more than 3 seconds watching this, probably a member of the church. Because they don't want to hear that, because all that information that we're giving doesn't really fit with their narrative that they want it to say. We just need to be conformed to His will. And folks, take the opportunity any way you can. And really, you can't beat the social media platform. Yeah, there's a lot of bad stuff on there, and they've corrupted a lot of stuff. But you know what? We have just as much right to post things about God. Now, we may get a message, this goes against our community standards, but you know what? We're going to do our job. And if that's going to happen, then so be it. But folks, you won't know until you try. So consider that. The abundant life is a great life. It's one where, yes, it is fulfilling, it is satisfying. To be able to share the message of Christ is so satisfying. And it's something that some of us live for. and others, we encourage you to strive to live for that abundant life that Jesus gave us. So that's our lesson this morning. Consider these thoughts, and we're going to sing an invitation song. If anyone has a need to respond, we invite you to come while we stand and sing.